So today, the theme of the day is anicca, impermanence. One of the three characteristics, and also one of the four vipalasa. And you know, one of the, you know, Dhamma gets into liberation from ignorance, and usually, you know, anicca is that one which we can see pretty easy. But then to really deeply integrate that seeing is something else. And this afternoon I'd like to share with you a guided meditation on the four Brahma Viharas and impermanence. And on the first evening we did a chant together in English about the four boundless qualities that they might shine forth. And that's the text, you know, from the early suttas, and that's actually meditation instructions, radiation meditation instructions, you know, radiating those qualities all around and above and below. And we're going to do that first, and then we, you know, allow to kind of abide in that radiation for some time, and then come to see that even the most sublime states are impermanent. And then ending with the last tetrad of the Anapanasati Sutta, which is like the classic, you know, investigation of impermanence. So let's just find a posture we can sustain for 45 minutes or so. And just being aware of the body on the cushion, on the chair, the weight of the body. Then we can start with metta, and you know, by bringing up an image in the heart, or we can also bring up a sentence or some words. The classic words for metta is, may all beings be happy. And metta is compared also with the sun at noon, which shines in all directions in the same manner. This non-partial well-wishing. May all beings be happy. And then, you know, when you say this sentence, or you might also visualize a lovely being, like a little baby or a puppy or a kitten or something really sweet. And then you might notice, you know, how the energy in the heart area takes on that sweetness. And then with the in-breath, I am becoming aware how that feels. And with the out-breath, I'm spreading it through my whole body, my whole being. May all beings be happy. And, you know, if you might find it helpful, you can also visualize that sweet energy with a certain color, maybe pink or light green, as it spreads around the heart, through your body. May all beings be happy. So with the in-breath, familiarizing oneself with that quality of the heart-mind, and with the out-breath, allowing it to spread. Not pushing, not pressurizing, just naturally allowing. Like naturally allowing it to radiate. Foremost through our own being first. And, you know, metta is the basic one of the four Brahma Viharas. It's sometimes also compared to water, the cohesion of water. May all beings be happy. And, you know, in the monasteries in England, when people brought a futana on the weekends, people from either Thailand or Sri Lanka, they would do water pouring when, you know, the monks and nuns would do the acknowledgement of the offering chant. Then the people who gave the offering, they would pour water from a little flask into a bowl, and then the bowl would fill and overflow into a second bowl. And that overflowing kindness, that's what metta is all about. And, you know, we can, once we feel, you know, that our whole being is saturated by that metta, we can start radiating it in front of us. No pressure, just allowing it to radiate out naturally. And then to one side. And if the mind might wander off, just coming back to the meditation words or to the image, may all beings be happy. And noticing, you know, how the innate intelligence of the biocomputers of these bodies and minds, they respond. You know, if we are bringing up an image like this, or if we are thinking thoughts like that, there's a reply there. There is a response there, which we don't need to make happen. It's natural. And then radiating behind, to the other side, all around, above and below, around and everywhere, as to all, as to myself. Sitting in an orb of metta, and with the in-breath, noticing the quality of that energy, the fine vibration of that energy. It's just simple power of intention can make that happen. And allowing it to radiate as far or as near as it wants to. So, you know, in the beginning it's doing by using a word or an image, and then it becomes being, metta. Just resting into that quality. And once, you know, we have really filled ourselves with metta, we can also notice, you know, the hindrances are temporarily in abeyance. And we can just rest into that buoyancy of the Brahmavihara. And noticing also the subtle joy which is there when the mind is temporarily liberated from the hindrances. Through metta in this case. And then letting go of the metta and just being aware of the joy, the subtle joy in the mind. That's a very important step, to show the mind how it is, you know, if the hindrances are in abeyance, that there is automatic this subtle joy there. The subtle joy of not wanting to be anywhere else, of really being with what is right now. The subtle joy from not wanting anything. And then we can use another word or image to change that mind state into compassion, karuna, bringing up a sentence, for example, may all beings be free from harm. May all beings be protected. Or a little image of maybe a very vulnerable being in fear, little bird or something like that, and then seeing how the heart responds. It's a different quality. It's often compared with the setting sun, which, you know, wants to relate to that which is less fortunate than ourselves in this moment. A different quality in the heart, just with the in-breath becoming really aware how it feels, and with the out-breath letting it spread out through our body, our being again. And if you want to give it a color, you could use a certain color which fits for you. For me, it would be maybe violet. May all beings be free from harm. With the in-breath, experiencing the quality of that Brahmavihara, and with the out-breath, letting it spread out through the body, the being. And radiating it out in front. To one side, behind, the other side, above and below, sitting in an orb of karuna, compassion. No, you know, pressure, just gently allowing it to radiate as it wishes to. And just relaxing into that boundless quality of Karuna. And again, noticing, you know, when the hindrances are temporarily in abeyance, temporary liberation of the mind through Karuna. And my first teacher, Ajahn Buddhadasa, you know, called the temporary liberation of the mind a little nibbana, quote unquote, little taste of the mind free from the hindrances. And then again, you know, we can drop the quality of Karuna and just being aware of the subtle joy of the mind free from hindrances. The mind, you know, which gets used to that subtle joy will much easier be able to come back to that. Because, you know, our system still has this very strong conditioning that joy comes from getting something which we want. And here, you know, the mind starts to learn this subtle joy comes from letting go. It's a different kind of joy. It's an unworldly joy which has nothing to do with gratification of the senses. And the mind needs to learn that. And then we can bring up the next Brahmavihara, which is mudita, sympathetic joy, you know, rejoicing in the good fortune of others. And here we use the sentence, may all enjoy their good fortune. And we can bring up a little image maybe of a little child which is you know, successful in school, and you know, everybody is happy, rejoicing in that success of somebody else. And then feeling how that quality is again different quality. It is compared with the sun rising in the morning and reflecting in the dewdrops, that glorious brilliance, light. Maybe it's yellow. May all beings enjoy their good fortune. And again, it's a different kind of vibration in the heart. And the heart just responds without us needing to make that happen. It's a natural process. It's a quality of the citta. It's a conditioned response, and if we know the way to make that happen, we can. So with the in-breath, familiarizing ourselves with that quality of mudita, and with the out-breath, letting it spread out through the body, through the being, without pressure. and then allowing it to spread in front of us, radiate to one side, back, the other side, above and below, sitting in an orb of mudita. And then dropping the mudita and becoming aware again of the subtle joy which is there if the mind is not holding on to anything. And then riding on the buoyancy of that openness and the natural feeling of contentment. Which isn't leaning into any direction. It's just where it is, not wanting to be anywhere else. And then we come to the last of the four Brahmaviharas, which is Upekkha, which doesn't have a sense of direction. Like, you know, Metta was going in all directions in the same way, and then Karuna was going down, Mudita was going upwards, and Upekkha doesn't have any direction. And Upekkha is compared with the full moon, the cool light of the full moon, or like the laugh of a grandmother who has seen, you know, so many things. And there's this sense of knowing all beings are the owners of their karma. Which brings that quality of coolness and equilibrium. And then in the heart area, when we are looking there, you can see it's again different. All beings are the owners of their karma. And as an image in that case, you know, we can, it's like the fruit of the other three Brahmavihara. All three rolled into one. Yeah, being aware of the ups and downs and knowing that this is part of life. And again, you know, allowing the quality to spread out through our own area, chest area, and the being of this body. It's much more subtle than the other three. And allowing it to spread in front of us, to one side, behind, to the other side, above and below. And then, you know, attending to Pekka, looking at it more from the sense of the boundless space. From the viewpoint of boundless space, you know, which doesn't end at the walls of this room. Just, you know, maybe listening into that space, into the silence, and allowing the mind to expand even further if it wants to. So using the boundless space as an object. Dropping the upekkha. And whatever, you know, wants to move through this boundless space, any feelings and thoughts and sensations, sounds, giving it the space it wants, giving it the space it needs, and not grasping any of it. If the mind, you know, wants to contract around something, because that's what it's used to, then when you're noticing it, just coming back to listening to the silence, listening to the space. And just letting that conditioned response, just letting it go. So giving room for change to happen, and you know, not holding on to anything, again and again letting it go, and coming back, you know, from the two banks of the river. If you get stuck on one side, just coming back to the middle and be that flow. The one side is the wanting, the other side is the not wanting. You come back to the middle. No one is in charge. And, you know, noticing the peacefulness of that. Not holding on to anything. And familiarizing the mind where the peacefulness, the contentment comes from not grasping. That's what the mind needs to learn through bringing it back to that recognition again and again and again. And then, you know, when the mind is ready, we can come back to the breath, give it a bit of time. And, you know, for the remainder of the session, we're going to now look at impermanence more, you know, within the classic last tetrad of the Anapanasati Sutta. So not changing anything, but just paying attention to what's happening in a particular way. And by, you know, paying attention to impermanence, for example, in the breathing process, letting go is gonna happen naturally. Because, you know, by really focusing and by really looking at impermanence, we are starting to see more and more fully that there is not really anything to be found to hold on to. And another Pali word for that is nibbida, disenchantment, and literally that means not finding. Not finding any unchanging entity we could hold on to leads to letting go. So by, you know, paying attention to impermanence in the breathing process, for example, then the next step would be dispassion, viraga, which is the result of passion, you know, being washed away, craving being washed away through paying attention to the natural occurrence of impermanence. And viraga comes from the Pali word ranch, which means to color. So that coloring, you know, of passion is washed out, is washed away, like a, you know, if you have a big stain in a piece of cloth, if you wash it just once, it's not going to go away. But maybe if you're washing it 10, 15 times, it just gets more and more washed away, until it's completely gone. And the washing agent is looking at impermanence. That is what does the job. So anicca, impermanence, and then viraga, dispassion. And then, you know, a mind which is less obsessed with passion can see endings. That's the next of the four steps. In Pali it's called Nirodha, or being able to see ending cessation, that everything which has a beginning has a middle and has an end. And rather than, you know, being glued on the beginnings because they are so lovely or so interesting, the mind which is dispassionate can also take in the endings of something. Ending of a life, ending of a year, ending of a relationship, so many different endings, which we have a tendency sometimes to gloss over because they are full of grief and pain often. And then we're already at the next thing and the next thing, and then the mind never really learns. So in anicca, impermanence, viraga, dispassion, nirodha, cessation or ending. And then the mind, you know, which has seen that progression, seeing impermanence, letting go of passion, then being able to see the full picture, then the natural response of a mind like that is letting go. Vosaga in the Pali language. Because the mind sees it doesn't make any sense to hold onto that which is changing. And then, you know, the mind, which is trained, eventually at one point can let go to that extent that it can really fully plunge into the unconditioned, the supreme peace and happiness, which is not just temporary, but those four stages of awakening. So letting go, and my first teacher, Ajahn Buddhadasa, he always called it throwing it all back to nature, the rightful owner of all of this. These bodies and these everythings around us. So you know, then we start to understand there is nothing lost through letting go, but we can gain peace and contentment from letting go. And the mind needs to really see that. That's what the training is all about, to show it to the mind again and again and again. And to be able to master that interest, you know, one of the seven factors of awakening, interest. So that it doesn't just become like a rote practice, but that there is real, true interest there, Dhamma Vichaya. And often like suffering, for example, you know, can help to master some interest, I would say. So, you know, that was like the complete kind of path, in a sense, you know, seeing the impermanence of those different Brahmaviharas, but just, you know, putting in a certain image or a certain sentence, we can effortlessly change the quality of the Brahmavihara. And then, you know, once the mind has had a certain amount of resting in that openness, then it might also, you know, be ready to see impermanence with more subtlety and because the mind has been, you know, lifted up and opened up, there's a certain buoyancy and openness there, it can really deeply take that in. And penetrate the mind more fully than usual with that insight into impermanence. And, you know, this passion, cessation and letting go. And seeing that this is a natural progression, which we don't need to kind of cook up, we just need to pay attention. And then, you know, we can maybe open our eyes slowly and just for a moment, you know, taking in the natural clarity of the mind, which is not, you know, lost in the hindrances, and that effortlessness, that natural capacity to be aware. And if there's a sense of, you know, not wanting to open the eyes, just feeling that too, that resistance.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.